B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
From NJ.com, Mr. Michael K. Michael K., what's happening, man?
Nothing, man. Just sleeping off that excitement. You know what I mean? That was quite the game.
What did you? Well, yeah. What did you make of, let's say, the first quarter of play yesterday?
It was abysmal. Like the play calling was perplexing. The running back rotation didn't seem to have any logic behind it. At one point during a commercial break, Jordan Howard was in the offensive huddle, and then once the break ended, Darren Sproles went out there. They didn't let anybody really get into a rhythm in the running game, and you saw once they got into that rhythm how dominant they were on offense. You know, Carson looked a little off, which I kind of expected a little bit, but there were some throws that were pretty far off targets. He could really only connect with DeSean Jackson that first quarter. He was 3 of 5 for 20 yards in the first quarter. That's not really what most of us expected when we thought, you know, Carson Wentz had all this healthy training camp practice and was forming chemistry with all these guys, and then, well, that was kind of a letdown.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other part of that is game plan. How much of that was game plan? How much do you think that was Carson Wentz checking down?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think Carson said after the game that they want to get the completions where they can get completions, and I think from his perspective, if guys weren't immediately open, he wanted to get into a rhythm and at least establish some sort of chemistry with his backs, with his short yardage situations, and maybe get a big break a big play out of it. I mean, he had one pass to DeSean towards the sideline that was impressive, but that was really his only impressive play of the first quarter, and it just kind of seemed like they didn't have what they planned for coming into the game.
So, Michael, speaking with Michael K. of NJ.com, the other part really goes with that second quarter. You see the bomb, 421, and then after that, Carson Wentz, especially on third down, was just perfect. Perfect passer rating, especially on third down. Had the 3 touchdowns on third down as well. When it comes to Carson Wentz, though, would you prefer to see him play in the preseason and maybe knock that rust off earlier, or would you prefer what we saw where he might need a quarter or two going into the season there, or sorry, when the season starts, to really start getting things going?
I think you avoid the preseason, especially given his injury history and what you saw. I mean, look at what happened to Nick Foles and just, you know, a drive of action. Anything can happen, and if you can preserve him till when it counts, that's the way to go. You know, it did take a while to get going, but at no point in that game, I even turned to my beat writing partner who you had on last week, Zach Rosenblatt, and said, I don't think they're going to lose this game. They got down early, but there was so much time left, and this is such a dynamic passing offense that, I mean, you kind of felt like they could come back, and then when he hit DeSean down the field, it was like, okay, cool. He settled down. Everybody settled down. And as Nelson Aguilar told me yesterday, I'd rather have a team that can finish than a team that starts off quick.
Michael, one of the things that I came away with, all the positivity of the offense that you talked about, great, but I'm really concerned about this defense. And we saw it in the first half. The second half, to me, I don't know if the scheme changed or whatever. I thought the only reason, the two reasons mainly that the Eagles got away in the second half was, one, the offense was on the field for so long, and two, Washington seemed to make a ton of mistakes offensively when they did have the ball. What did you see out of the defense?
I mean, everything you just said is absolutely correct. I think the Redskins kind of faltered under the pressure of the Eagles putting up big plays on offense. The secondary was awful yesterday. I mean, Andrew Zendejo had 2 terrible moments on one play where he allowed a 48-yard touchdown to Vernon Davis. I don't know what happened there. I thought his knee buckled and maybe he got injured, but he basically stopped covering Vernon Davis the second he caught the ball and then recovered, missed a tackle, and then Vernon Davis was able to run down the field. Rasul Douglas gave up a big touchdown down the field. Sidney Jones was not very good yesterday when he did get some action. And then Ronald Darby and Avante Maddox missed several tackles. It was a rough day for that secondary. The defense struggled to get pressure. The one positive, I mean, I thought the defensive ends played relatively well outside of getting pressure. I mean, I thought they played very well against the run. This defense shut down the run in this game. But, yeah, I mean, you want more pass rush. You want to have better pass coverage. That's the name of the game in the NFL right now. And That was not a good sign for this team moving forward.
You mentioned the play where they got the wide open bomb on Rasul Douglas. The Eagles go up 21-20. Washington gets the ball back. They have another wide open bomb against Douglas that they overthrew. What happened on that? Where are the safeties? Is it a scheme? Is it one-on-one coverage that they're looking to do there, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's one-on-one coverage. They were getting the matchups that they wanted, and I mean, Rasul is not known for his speed.
No.
You see why this team favors Sidney Jones so much. And, you know, you kind of have to scheme up for Rasul a little bit. I think Rasul's a pretty good corner in zone coverage, but when you're going man-to-man, he's got his faults, clearly.
Any update on Malik Jackson? A lot of people have been asking us about him today.
I spoke to him in the locker room, and he's typically a very forthcoming guy, but what he basically told us was that he's injured. He looked down at his foot and said he has to go through some more testing. That was pretty much it. He would not clarify what the injury was. I'm sure we'll find out at noon at the Doug Peterson press conference, or we probably won't. Who knows? Depends on what type of mood Doug's in.
Well, hopefully a good one because they won yesterday. But in all seriousness, Carson Wentz goes to the podium after the game, and it's a little magical moment that we get of a player finding out a stat line that he thought he had was actually inaccurate. Carson Wentz apparently found out during the press conference that he did not have 4 touchdown passes yesterday.
So did Alshon Jeffrey. I was in the locker room. Zach was in the press conference. And I said to Alshon, I said, did anybody give you any flack for having a rushing touchdown today? He goes, I don't know. We'll see about that. I thought that was a passing touchdown. I thought it was a passing touchdown, too. But then when you kind of watch it back on tape, I guess you could calling it a lateral is fine, whatever. Now, what will be interesting to see is either one of them has a bonus tied to purely passing or receiving touchdowns, because if that's the case, it could affect the bonus, which I could see them being very frustrated about, you know, instead of being total touchdowns. So it'll be interesting.
Or fantasy owners that needed that touchdown pass from Carson Wentz or reception from Alshon. Mm. But, you know, whatever. But it's a touchdown for him nonetheless. The other part of this is that Carson, with the rust and all that stuff, it looked like a similar situation to the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. What got them going in the Thursday night premiere, or the debut, rather, the season, was the bomb down the field. Same type of thing with Carson Wentz. It doesn't seem like those two need to work on that much timing, especially on those deep routes.
Yeah, absolutely not. And I mean, if you saw in the short to intermediate routes, they were connecting as well. I mean, he targeted him 10 times and he caught 8 passes for 154 yards. It wasn't just the 2 big bombs of 51 and 53. I think those guys have incredible chemistry. We've been talking it up all summer, and it was cool to see it live in person. You know, everybody's raved about Deshaun, but I think Carson deserves a lot of credit for how he's been able to step up in the pocket and really take on hits, take on the pressure, and throw the ball downfield. I thought Carson in general was extremely good on the run. The throw to Alshon Jeffrey, I couldn't believe, was completed from the press box. Like, it was a literal dart. And he had some really, really strong plays on the run and some throws to Zach Ertz that were pretty impressive. So I think, yeah, I think the deep bomb kind of helped him settle into the game. Obviously, they had that failed drive afterwards where they could have scored a second time before the half, and they didn't do that. But I think once you saw them establish the run and kind of get some rhythm and get that offensive line going, they were pretty much unstoppable on offense.
Mm-hmm. The other part, you're looking at the offensive line. Are you surprised at all to see Brandon Brooks out there?
No, not after this week. If you would have asked me last week, I would have said yeah. But he was a full go on Friday. They had him heavily involved a couple of days before. Speaking to him in the locker room, that guy he's super motivated. He's the guy that's worked 7 days a week pretty much since the injury occurred to get back to where he needs to be. Duke Manyweather, who's become an offensive line guru, told me that when he was in Texas with him, he looked perfectly fine. So I think this has always kind of been the target date for him, and you know, him playing 3 quarters is pretty impressive.
Last thing for you, speaking with Mike Kay of NJ.com, Falcons next week, prime time, Sunday night, and that's not going to be a team that the Eagles can give some slack to, like they did, obviously, with the Redskins. So what are your early expectations for Sunday night?
Well, I think they're starting off 3-0. So I think this is a team that comes in feeling very good about this comeback win. They know what this offense can do, and they can put up some points. So I think the Eagles in a dome will do very, very well. The Falcons are coming off an embarrassing loss to the Vikings on the road. It'll be interesting to see how they kind of counteract that, because going down 0-2 in the NFC South could be a real big problem with New Orleans in there. So I think it'll be a tough matchup, but the Eagles seem to have, I mean, Doug Peterson in particular seems to have the Falcons number, and I think that continues in week two.
Well, Mike, I really appreciate you coming on with us the day after a game, of course. If you want to give Mike a follow, it's at @Mike_E_K, K-A-Y-E, on Twitter, and of course, Mike K of NJ.com. Thanks very much, Mike. Appreciate it, brother.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.